And a very pleasant good afternoon to you on this Monday, the 19th day of October in the year of our Lord 2020. I'm Roger Walton in for Pastor Barton here this afternoon. Hope that you've had a good day today. Beautiful day. Looks like we had a high here of about 71 or 2, somewhere in there, low of 38. So we had another night in the where our low hit the 30s. It was Sunday that was the day I took a picture out on the front yard and sent it to my mom and dad in Florida because you could see the frost. You could actually see ice in the picture. And I know that that just thrills them when they see all that cold weather and excites them that they don't live where it's at. So I wanted to see, I recorded 30.7 degrees as the low on the 18th, I believe it was. And I was looking at this, and it looks like we hit here. This is, my system gives me an update every 12 minutes. So it looks like at 12 minutes after 5 on the 18th, we hit the freezing mark, 32 degrees. It could have happened within the last, anytime within that last 12 minutes, but, and it stayed that way until 6:36, and then it dropped below freezing, and it stayed below freezing until about 7 something, and then it went back to 32. And we got above freezing at 8:12. So there was a duration of time there. And this all happened in the early morning on yesterday. So I can see why we had what we had here. And it was just patches, a few things here. But what was so cool, the sun was shining brightly, and the angle with which it was shining in the morning through the beautiful colors of the leaves and the glistening made it for an incredibly beautiful picture, which I really enjoyed taking and keeping on my phone and sending to my mom and dad. But we did have several nights in a row into the 30s. That's pretty much now going to go away. We'll talk about weather in a minute. Let me tell you about a traffic situation. It's been ongoing for a while, and it's getting better as far as how much is shut down, but it's not getting better in the fact that it is shut down. And this is going to be I-26 near Holbert Cove Road. It's going to be mile marker 61 headed westbound just outside of Columbus. Okay, there's a vehicle crash there, and this thing has had a high impact of traffic for quite some time, and it is pretty much showing that it's just not moving. I mean, you just get outside that Columbus exit just a little bit headed towards Saluda, and you don't get very far, and there you go. It's just, it's slow going, and it stays that way. It's like I say, with each time I look at this, it's getting better. But if you're coming out of Columbus thinking you're going to come up the mountain, you might want to zigzag your way through 176 and come up that way, because right now it's just not that good. We were doing pretty bad in other areas in western North Carolina, but they have cleared up. I-26 had some issues in the airport area up through Biltmore. That seems to have cleared up pretty good right at this hour. And so right now I don't see from Malfunction Junction all the way down to the 26-25 split in the Zirconia Tuxedo area. I don't see any slowdowns whatsoever there at all. Of course, if you are going to be headed east down the mountain, we're not showing any stoppage there. It's moving. And so we'll keep an eye on this and just see if we can get traffic moving while we're here during this time. Let me take a look at the I-240 at the top of the city core as you're coming around area from what would cross over Town Mountain Road to Charlotte Street. It slows way down in there, and it stays slow until you get to the new I-26 interchange there. And then it picks back up with no issues. So that's good news. Let's take a look at the gorge here. And no issues today. Right on down into Tennessee. Looks good. And it looks like Old Fort is the same way. So let's take a look at the upstate. Let's drop off the mountain here. Let's come down 25 into Traveler's Rest, and that looks pretty good till you get by the Walmart Supercenter there. Then we have some slow downs there. Pretty good one. And let's take a look over here into the hotspot area, which of course is Pelham Road. That it got better for a long time. And honestly, it's not as bad as it was when they were working on it. But still, it's one of those places that just, it's just one of those hot spots where people, business-wise and all, tend to, it's not moving real good. In fact, good grief, both directions, very, very slow. And I'm not sure if that camera's just out of focus or if they've got some kind of a sunshine issue there or what, but usually I see it a lot clearer than that. Let's take a look up, and once you get past the 54 mile marker, get about fit mile marker 55, 54 and a half, we'll say Batesville Road, it starts moving pretty good. It's just right in that one area, that clog right in there. People getting on and getting off at Pelham Road and coming off the Gateway Project, which is back there at 385. And actually, 385 has got some issues right now. If you come off of 385 on one of the new roads now that they have there, that long, I'm thinking it's 51B. It's 51, 51B and C, but I think that's the one. And it makes a curve and comes back around onto 385. That's backed up pretty good there as well. And then a little bit further down, not too far, we're looking at Woodruff Road. The right lane is closed due to a crash. It looks like, though, traffic is not heavy enough to create a nightmare there. So that's good news. So let's jump up into Spartanburg County. And I-26, Business 85, I-85. You folks look like you're doing really good at this juncture all the way into North Carolina till you get to Columbus. And then we're back where we were. So there you go. Traffic not too bad other than this one wreck that really has caused some issues. So hopefully that'll clear up shortly. We'll keep an eye on that for you this afternoon. Well, like I said, we're moderating temperatures now tonight, mostly clear. The low tonight, about 46. That's a big difference compared to what we've been seeing. South wind. That's the reason why this is a south wind. There's a cold front, not going to make it. There's such a big blocking high pressure sitting over us that it's going to steer it north of us. And so it's going to knock the rain chances out until we get towards the end of the week. And so we're looking tomorrow at another sunny day with a high near 73. Boy, I tell you what, picture perfect weekend other than very cold in the morning. But when you think about fall and the beautiful sun, and then we're looking at calm winds, again, southeast winds in the afternoon. And we're looking at a low Tuesday night of about 52. And then back to sunny skies Wednesday with a high near 73. And then we're going to drop down to about 55 Wednesday night and back to mostly sunny on Thursday with a high near 71. Then Thursday night, we get mostly cloudy, drop around 56. And then Friday, you have 40% chance of showers, partly sunny, high near 69. That's the highest that, that's not the highest. The highest is 73. that's starting to drop. On Friday night, low around 55, but back to 69 on Saturday, 40% chance, 30% chance Saturday night. And then Sunday, mostly sunny, high near 76. That's the extended forecast coming up from the National Weather Service. All right. We had here, I say, a high of about 72 with a low about 38. Station observed 41 this morning, high about 69, and no precipitation in the rain gauge. AM 720 WGCR is being sponsored by the Redden family in loving memory of Ray Redden. We say thank you to the Redden family. Appreciate you folks today sponsoring the AM 50,000 watt station here in Pisgah Forest, North Carolina. And we also honor the memory of Mr. Ray Redden with you. Thank you for sponsoring today. FM 94.9 and the Anchor Baptist Broadcasting Network, which includes WGCR.net, the preaching, the music, and the video channels. It's being sponsored by, guess who? My wife and I. Yeah, we sponsored it in honor of my 50th spiritual birthday, which is tomorrow. Yeah, going to talk about that in just a little bit. I'm going to take care of a few more things, but that's hard for me to wrap my mind around. 50 years of salvation, so we're rejoicing with that. That's tomorrow, the 20th, October the 20th. The year was 1970. I do want to just mention, I mentioned it on Swap Shop. I had it in the news this morning. I did not have it in the news this afternoon because there was no new news. But in Haywood County, they have been searching since Saturday for a young man, 27-year-old Chad Seeger. The last time anyone and his family heard from him was Monday, a week ago. The Haywood County Emergency Management officials said that they found the car, and if I remember correctly, they found it in the Black Balsam parking lot. Okay, the Black Balsam Park parking lot, and I believe that's what's led them to where they're searching. And the shining rock, the balsam, what basically they're looking at black balsam and shining rock. They were in shining rock quite a bit of the Pisgah Ranger District of the Pisgah National Forest. They searched Saturday, came back Sunday, and now they came back today. In fact, today they even had teams from Alabama and Georgia that joined in, the regional teams and the canine teams and the ground searchers. The sad part is there's just still no sign of him. And so the situation is fluid and ongoing. The good and the bad, by the way, they said over yesterday, over 120 searchers from multiple agencies. That's being a chaplain on searches where I've stayed with the family while the searchers go out. And I've seen the amount of people that come in different. I mean, I've seen horseback riding teams and ATV teams and canine teams and you name it. The people that come out and respond to help is incredible. And the North Carolina Highway Patrol helicopter provided air support Saturday. They were going to use it again yesterday. The good news, of course, being that it was beautiful enough to see clearer than on a cloudy day. Unfortunately, you know, woods is woods, and you can't see the forest for the trees, as they said. But the there's good and bad news in this, and one of those. The good news is that he is ex-Marine, and they think maybe he has some camping gear, and hopefully he does. And that camping gear had the clothes to withstand the temperatures that they got to over this weekend, which was, if you think about it, this is higher up than this level that I'm at. And we had 30.7 one night as a low. It was in early in the morning. You go up 1,000 feet, you're going to drop 5 degrees easily. You go up another 1,000 feet and you're going to drop another 5 degrees. You know, there could be anywhere from a 5 to 10 degree difference. So all of a sudden you're talking 20s. And that's pretty cold. And we are praying about this outcome being good. Like I said, that was the good news. The bad news was, of course, that he does suffer from some kind of a mental illness or stress or something that he has medication for and doesn't have, if I understand the story correctly, the medication for. So that we don't know what that might affect. I was trying to see if I could actually find that here. The family actually recorded a message. Let's see. As of this morning, no credible sign or sightings. Today, they were looking within 100 meters of trails and off-trail areas throughout the Shining Rock Wilderness, and they were continuing to urge people to stay off the 25-mile stretch of the Blue Ridge Parkway between Highway 276 and Highway 215. Well, that's, you know, it's a popular drive. And I have the first time that we ever drove to the mountains. We came up for a 2-week vacation way back in May of 1991. And one of the drives that I took was to go up 215. And we went 64 up 215 to the Blue Ridge Parkway, back to 276 and back down. That was a day trip that we just spent taking our time with, you know, picnic baskets and things and just enjoying the of course, in May when we went, the spring and the flowers and things. So that area is quite popular. So we are praying for a good outcome, but it's getting more and more. And we're hoping and praying more and more that this is something that can be a good ending for these folks. I want to say happy birthday to Mr. Garrett Mann. Hope you've had a great birthday today. Ms. Mary Parker had a birthday today. Happy birthday to you. Hope it was a good one. And Clayton Porter turned the big one. First birthday. Hope that the family really enjoyed that. And got to have some great memories there for their first birthday of Mr. Clayton. Appreciate all of you folks that know how to make a one-year-old have an awesome birthday. And then it's never the same again. You can do all kinds of things on your first birthday, and then it changes. But there you go. Amen. All right. Well, I always am amazed, honestly, at my thought process. It amazes me, first of all. just tell you that. My thought process can be interesting. But when I started and I actually stopped and I never picked it back up again. When I was in Florida, and was, I'm trying to remember when I started, because it wasn't the year I was diagnosed with cancer. And I don't think it was the next year. I think it was around 2017 that I started typing my life story, not from the standpoint of accomplishments, but more from the standpoint of memories that my mom and dad could enjoy reading. And I, you know, in my childhood, things that I remember that they might read and go, oh, I remember that. Or what is he talking about? And as I was sitting down And thinking about writing it back in 2017, and I wrote quite a bit. I wrote typed several pages, and then left it on the computer. So I need to go find it. But this is the thought, as I was thinking of my life, this is the thought that went through my mind, that my life is divided into two segments. I called it BC and AC. BC, my life before Christ, and AC, my life after Christ. Because to be real honest, it was a dramatic change. My life was dramatically changed, even though I was saved as a teenager, 14 years old. And I get amazed at the BC section of my life, because I believe God is the great orchestrator of events that bring us to the place where we come in contact with the gospel. And I was thinking about the events that took place. I was born in Indiana. I was raised in cold country. I made snowmen every year because you pretty much could have snow just about every winter. At the age of 5, I went to kindergarten and walked across the field to the school instead of going around the road to stay off the road. And the street that we lived on, we rented a single level house. But my mom and dad bought the house next door, multi-level house, one of those where it's not two levels, it's multi, it's split. You go in on a foyer and then you choose to either go down or up. It was one of those style houses where, I went to look at it when my wife and I went to a Seedline conference. And so we stayed just outside of Indianapolis in Plainfield, Indiana, and commuted out so that we could spend some of our daytime reminiscing in my old territory. And when I went by the house, as a boy, I thought that house was huge. I thought that was a big, and it was the smallest thing I'd ever seen, but oh well. It backed up to Eagle Creek, and I enjoyed that. My mom and dad didn't. It overflowed. But they had bought that house, and they were fixing it up. They, I guess, bought it for a pretty good deal, and they were fixing it up so that we could live in it. Well, they had worked and worked and worked and worked and got it fixed up real nice. And they decided that they deserved a little R&R. My dad worked hard. He worked a lot of times. He worked 12-hour days. And I would be in bed when he'd get home. And they decided to vacation without us. I was okay with that. It was winter time, so I could build my snowmen. They went down to South Florida during winter time, and it wasn't cold, and they liked it. The next thing I know, they come back, and through a series of events which seemed immediate to me, and I know they had to be kind of immediate, because I went to kindergarten in Indiana, part of first grade in Indiana, and the rest of it in Orlando, where we rented a house and sat on our suitcases because my dad was going to be there for just a short period of time in training, because he had changed from one jewelry chain to another and had to kind of learn their ways to become, He was already a manager of one jewelry store chain. This was a different chain he was going to become manager of. And then they were going to send him to South Florida, which happened. And so we lived pretty close to the ocean. And then I remember they decided to build a house west in a new subdivision that was further west away from the ocean. So now instead of being 10 miles from the ocean, we were more like 22 miles from the ocean. And I was excited. It was a beautiful home. In fact, I would love to be able to have that home for what they paid for it. Back then, they were sweating bullets over the payment and the price. My dad said, I don't know if we should be doing this. But it was a three-bedroom, two-bath, 20-something square foot house with a screened-in pool. And they were sweating bullets on this oversized lot because the cost of the home was $24,000 brand new to build it. I'm like, I'd take that today, wouldn't you? We'd jump at the chance to have a brand new home like that for that price. But he got promoted, and in that promotion, he was going to have to move, and we had just moved in, and we just built it, and he didn't want to do that. And so these are all things I know now, but I don't know the conflict that my dad went through. My mom, I don't know the dialogue. I don't know the decision-making process. This is what I know. That there was a weekly paper, and the man who was part owner of that paper, or maybe it was his mom and dad owned it, and he worked for them. That's what it was. Sold advertising to my dad for the jewelry store. And they were going to buy a paper that was pretty much going out of business. It had gotten down to just basically a fold. You opened it up and there was, you know, you had the outside page, you opened it up, page 2, 3, and the back page. That's all it was. And they were going to buy it. And the mom and the dad and the son and my dad, they offered him, we're going to go in as a foursome partnership to buy this and then let my dad run it. Well, I didn't, what does he know about? What does he know about newspapers? I don't know. I have no concept. I just know that he decided to do that. Well, in the beginning, you can't have a paid staff. So my dad sold the ads, and then the newspaper that was already existing where they had all the equipment, those art people would put together the ads, but my dad would lay out the paper. My dad wrote the stories. He wanted it to be a newspaper that had more good news than bad news. And he wanted to be able to report all kinds of things. So he would go to meetings and take notes and write stories. And one day he heard that there was a pastor who had been canvassing the area, and they were going to be meeting and having church, forming a brand new Baptist church in the town of this newspaper. And so he went to church, something I don't ever remember my dad doing. He went to church. I didn't know what he was doing. And he wrote a story on a brand new church. They were meeting at the Lakeshore Hotel in one of their conference rooms. If I could bring my pastor on from back then and say, talk to me, I believe he would tell me I'm right. I believe that through all the canvassing and knocking on doors the first Sunday, I believe they had 17 people. I'm pretty sure that I'm right there. 17 people. And when my dad went to do this story, they over time came and tried to visit. One Thursday night, making it to the house, and my dad was there, talked to him, and then saw me. the next week, now we're talking several months later now, they are now meeting in the Lions Club building because they have outgrown that little room. They're actually growing in God's blessing. And they see this teenage boy. So he comes back with a teenager that was already coming to the church and invited me to church. And so I went to church. And there I was introduced to a youth group of people, just a handful, that grew into an incredible youth group that I have so many memories of. I can't even begin to even explain the things that we did that you couldn't do today because insurance wouldn't cover them. But, the good times that we had. We used to rent places to ourselves, and that became our summer camp. But I do remember thinking I was saved because I remember going forward when I was about 8 years old at a camp somewhere. But when the man was trying to deal with me about my salvation, my friends were cracking up outside and I was listening to them and I was laughing. And I don't remember anything about that. I don't remember saying, I don't remember anything that tells me I was saved. We outgrew the Lions Club. Now, let me give you a timestamp. They started the church in July of 1969. I came shortly thereafter. In 1970 of October, I'm still thinking I'm saved, but I'm not. And I remember we had moved to the elementary school cafeteria. And that's where we were meeting now. And we had a revival meeting. Now, you folks down at WTBI, you've had him at your place. His name was Evangelist Bud Hunter. And Brother Bud was a preacher. And he was a Holy Ghost-filled, powerful preacher. And he preached out of 1 John, the marks of a Christian. And I flunked. No, that's not true in my life. No, that's not true in my life. No, that's not true in my life. And I was starting to panic. I was a 14-year-old boy starting to panic because in my heart, I was going to die of a heart attack right there and go to hell. Right there in church. And that night, I got saved. October the 20th, 1970, Tuesday night. That's hard to believe. This is a Monday night. It got close. Tomorrow's Tuesday. I forgot. It's tomorrow. Tomorrow, it works out perfect. 50 years works out to the day Tuesday. It was a Tuesday night of the revival meeting. And Brother Bud became a good friend, and he had a son. His son and I became good friends. And Brother Bud was the man who preached my ordination council message. In fact, that was in 10 years later in 1980. And my wife worked for the Awana headquarters. We were already engaged. And on Sunday, May the 18th of 1980 was my charge and my ordination signing of papers and the men coming in, laying hands, all that stuff that takes place. My wife, we flew her from Chicago to my mom and dad's house. And we sat together as he charged both of us because we were leaving the next morning to fly to Chicago, where I was going to attend the Awana Missionaries Conference. And she was going to get ready to be married on that Friday night of May of 1980. So he was instrumental in that as well. And I look at how God orchestrated me and my wife from Florida and her in Washington State to meet in Chicago, my dad to go to church so they would come and find me so that I would go and the Spirit of God would get hold of my life. And it just, I don't have time to go into all the things. I would love to interview my pastor someday on prayer time and just say, what were you thinking was going to happen when those days came and you just said, let's start a church here. This is where God wants. And you just started from scratch canvassing with no job. And the faith that he had to do what he did. But then let me say this, because I do have Bible college tonight. So something blessed happened, and it only God could orchestrate this. And I mentioned this either on prayer time or swap shop maybe a year ago or so, but we moved back here in September of 2018. And I don't sleep good at night with the bone problems and everything. So I, in fact, basically what I do is I zone in and out. A good night's sleep is zoning more than you're awake. That's kind of the way it goes. And so I listen to music. And when I listen to music, I actually now have a station that's got it's a internet station that's calm, and it's all music and nobody talks. I used to listen to a station where James Vernon McGee would come on, and I don't get me wrong, I have nothing against him, but his voice is not conducive to sleeping. Let's just put it that way, okay? His voice will keep you awake. But at this particular juncture, I was listening to WTBI. It's late. I think, if I'm not mistaken, they have a pulpit hour, a pulpit conference, whatever they call their pulpit thing, at 3 a.m. This is back when I first moved back here. And I was... I was laying there in bed having one of those rough nights where I can't sleep at all. There's no zoning. It's 3 o'clock, and it talks about a message that was recorded live down at WTBI in the church back in 1980 something. Okay, this is 2018. It was evangelist Bud Hunter, and he preached the same message that he preached the night I got saved. Not unusual for an evangelist to preach a message in different places, and but the answers to the questions were totally different. I'm grateful for that. So. A mile mark of my life. Have I been all I should be? No. Have I been totally obedient, constant? No. Have I had a great attitude all the time? No. Well, what have you been? Best I could be. Faithful. Best I could be. Not good at this or that, just faithful. Maybe hurting, get upset and say, Lord, but I'm not quitting. And I can't tell you how many times I have said to the Lord on bad days, and people who fight terminal illness, you know what I'm talking about. Your days are like yo-yos. They're up and down. And you sit there, and there are times that I just look at the Lord and say, look, Lord, I got all my eggs in your basket and I ain't changing. I'm not changing. I got no place else I can go, and I got no place else I want to go. And the sweet part of it is the BC part of my life is birth to age 14. The AC is age 14 to eternity. So I am grateful for a church that saw a teenage boy and came back with a teenager to be able to say, hey, listen, why don't you come to church? I recently wrote a letter. My original pastor down at that church has stayed in touch with me. He's heard me preach at my church in Florida. And recently, he has decided to be a blessing in my wife and I's lives. And I wrote him a letter, and his wife, to just tell him what they meant to me. You know, because I don't want to go on into heaven and not let them know tangibly, this is what you did for me. And one of the things I told to the pastor's wife was, you wrote in a book that you gave me to read a beautiful set of words to me, but you signed it Philippians 4:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. I never memorized that verse. I just read it so much it became part of me. And so she was every bit of much a part of that. She's the one that got me, as I said not too long ago, into junior church teaching and opened doors there. And so I say thank you to my pastors, you who have invested in people's lives, Sunday school teachers who have invested in people's lives like that. You know what I'm saying? Lay person, you wait for them. They come into church, you greet them, you love on them. You make sure that they've got a visitor. You make sure you got someone to sit with them. And you pour your life into them. For you people who have said, you know what, I'll go the extra mile and pour some time and life into this place, into these people, thank you. For people like me, who at the age of 14 may have gone a different direction, may have ended up in worse shape than ever before, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us. Well, it's been good to be with you today. Thank you so much for putting up with me one more time. I got a text that said that I might need to be on call. And then I got one that said, you're it. So we played tag and I was tagged. So how's that? You all remember how that goes, don't you? So thank you so much for being with us. We love you. Appreciate you. Can't believe we're almost on top of Thanksgiving. It's crazy. Looking forward to the Thanksgiving Christmas season. I'm looking forward to the thankfulness of Thanksgiving and hope you are too. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray you bless and encourage our hearts. We pray for those who are struggling right now. We just plead that you administer in their lives. Maybe it's struggling in health with their physical. Maybe it's mental or emotional. Maybe it's financial. But whatever it is, oh, for the one like I was that night, where the heart was beating out of my chest, I need to be saved. Boy, if they're doing that, may they call a radio station. Let someone tell them about Jesus. Greatest thing they ever would do, to be saved. We'll love on you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.